This is Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The fourth quarter on a Football Friday on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm rocking with my man Teron Davenport, who's filling in for Mike Golic Jr. It's Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and we want you to join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've been taking your calls all show long on what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers and exactly whose fault is it when it comes to the lack of discipline and the lack of overall effort that we've seen from this team, especially on display throughout the first 2.5 quarters of that game on Thursday Night Football last night, where they lose to the Minnesota Vikings 36-28. And TD, we've had a lot of conversations. We've kind of broke down the X's and O's of that ball game. But I think some of the things coming out of the post-game press conferences are more telling about the state of affairs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so we got to listen to what our ESPN Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark, had to say about what he saw from Chase Claypool and what he's seeing from his beloved Pittsburgh Steelers.
Chase Claypool is as mentally and emotionally underdeveloped as he is physically overdeveloped. This is a dude that has all the things you need from a physical standpoint to be a superstar wide receiver. He has a remedial level mental understanding of what it is to be a football player, of what it is to be a good teammate, of what it is to be a winner. You heard what he said. After he got the first down, he did my thing. At that point, it's not about my thing. It's about our thing. It's about when you watch a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, sprint faster to give the ball back to the referee and put it on the hash than he did to catch the football.
So for context, we're talking about that last Steelers drive when they've got the ball in plus territory less than a minute to go. And it's a 4th-and-1, and Big Ben raises up and throws it to Chase Claypool. It's a completion. It's a first down. Claypool then decides he wants to celebrate and signal first down rather than trying to get the ball back to the official so they can get it spotted and clock it and preserve as much time on the clock because they had no timeouts at that moment in the game. So it's just another example of selfishness from Chase Claypool, and we saw an earlier example of selfishness from that same player on the first drive the Steelers had in that game, where he decides after a catch, he wants to point into the face of a defender, a defensive back for the Minnesota Vikings, flag 15 yards. That moves the ball back on the other side of the 54, the Steelers, after they worked it into plus territory. So, again, these things keep popping up with Chase Claypool. We heard earlier a couple of weeks ago about him wanting to have music at practice and feeling like that's a part of the problem with the Steelers. They're not having fun. And then Mike Tomlin shortly thereafter came out and kind of quashed that and said, listen, I'm the coach. I'm responsible for that. He needs to worry about playing. But in looking at Claypool, I don't want to necessarily demonize him for the loss and for all of the things that we're seeing from the Steelers, because I feel like the stuff that Chase Claypool is getting away with is just a symptom of a bigger issue, and it has to do with the culture and the leadership in that locker room.
I don't understand the whole situation. I didn't realize that he came out and said something about the music. It's like, my man, listen, there's bigger fish to fry than whether or not you got music at practice. You know, this is a team that is still looking to try to stay in the playoff hunt. I mean, after that loss last night, it's clearly not a good prospect for them. But I don't understand the focus on self. My little first down thing, it just, and then after the play, to have the tantrum and have the audacity to yell at somebody else, it should have been 10 other people yelling at him, not one person yelling at someone else. I don't get this guy, and I think I know you don't want to demonize him, but it is what it is, man. And like, at a certain point, you have to understand that as a man, you're responsible for what your actions are. And it's popular to point it to Mike Tomlin, but I think individually, Chase Claypool needs to be held responsible for that.
Yeah, I think one of the obvious things in watching the Steelers play is that this is a collection of individuals, and this is not a group of guys working together toward a common goal, a group of guys that are sacrificing for what's in the best interest of the team. And that, like, that's the definition of a team. It's clearly an attitude or a mentality issue, and when you have guys that are displaying selfish behavior, it makes you wonder what is the leadership like at the top. I mean, attitude reflects leadership. We've heard that quote a million times when it comes to high-level sports, and so it makes you point the finger at Mike Tomlin, but then you also have to look at the veteran quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, because I believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers brought him back in part to be able to impart some of those intangibles, some of those leadership characteristics on the younger guys that are on this team that are going to be a part of the core of what this team is going to become in future years. And so I don't know, TD. There's something about it that doesn't feel right. It doesn't smell right. So let's go back to one of the guys that was on the field for the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Let's hear from quarterback Ben Roethlisberger and what he had to say about what he saw from Chase Claypool.
It's not really my job. I mean, that's, to me, that goes up to Coach Tomlin. That's what he needs to do. That's his job as the head coach. It's not as the quarterback. It's my job to help manage what we do on the field and getting first downs and trying to score. Dealing with player issues and whatever else you want to say, that's the coach's job, not mine.
Yeah, here's the thing, TD, and I get where Ben is coming from, but I don't get it at the same time, because I've never played on a team where a quarterback isn't willing to accept some degree of accountability for making sure that everybody that he's playing with, including the receivers that he's throwing the ball to, know exactly what to do in critical situations throughout the game. Like with quarterbacks, like if you want to talk about Eli Manning, or you want to talk about Tony Romo, or you want to talk about Joe Flacco, like all those guys would have no qualms about letting it be known to those receivers if they were to do something like that, that would cost that team an opportunity late in the game. Let me tell you who's not getting targets the next week. Let me tell you who's not getting touches with the football. That guy. So I get Roethlisberger trying to throw Mike Tomlin under the bus for disciplining Chase Claypool. But let's make no mistake about it. Ben Roethlisberger should have something to say about it too, because he's the damn quarterback. That's the top spot. He's a leader. The rest of the guys in the huddle, they're looking at him. And you're either allowing it to happen or you're coaching it that way. And so for Tomlin, there's got to be a level of accountability. But I think Ben Roethlisberger, as an extension of the leadership structure with the Pittsburgh Steelers, should be more accountable for those actions as well. Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't. And we're not talking about some rookie quarterback. We're talking about the guy who has been on the forefront of this franchise for more than, what, 15 years or so? Like, there's no way.
Since 2004, he's been there. That's a long time.
Exactly. You're entrenched. You're embedded. You have earned the right to come out and hold another person accountable in the media. And he ran away from the opportunity to do that. So, I can't respect that part of it. And here's the thing, like I said before, the quarterback, like, or different leaders on the team, like, coaches have different players that they rely upon, one of which is the quarterback, to extend the message, to extend the thought, the approach that is supposed to be taken. But when you're going and pointing the finger back to the head coach, like, that's just completely counterproductive. There is no way that he should have even mentioned Mike Tomlin. That's something where you address that with the coach behind closed doors, but you address it with the player right then and there, because it's something that obviously was in front of everyone that had to be taken care of.
All right. Well, listen, we've heard from Ben Roethlisberger, and now I feel like we got to hear from Chase Claypool, the guy himself, on why he made the decision to do what he do after he caught that first down conversion pass on fourth down. Here's Chase Claypool.
Yeah, you know, definitely got to be better. I got tackled near the hash, did my little first down point, and went to hand the ball to the ref. He had just got there. So even if I got right up and looked for him, he wasn't there. So he ran down the field to come get the ball, and the ball got knocked out of my hands. That's what cost it this time. But I definitely do have to be better. I knew the situation. I knew, you know, I know I'm near the hash. I know the ball's placed on the hash, but I got to be better.
Yeah, his awareness rating on Madden, let's just say it's not going to be the highest out of the bunch. It's just not. But here's the thing. What he said just doesn't pass the smell test. He was completely unaware of what his team needed, the situation, and knowing that they needed to clock that ball. No excuses for it. He's a professional. He's got to be accountable, but he's not the only player out there. Ben Roethlisberger needs to be accountable, and Mike Tomlin needs to be accountable as well. So there's blame to be had on all sides, on all fronts. But make no mistake about it, last night's game was, in fact, a playoff elimination type game because the Minnesota Vikings' playoff hopes are still on life support. I think that ship was all but sailed for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's where we're at with Pittsburgh. The only thing they're playing for is just to make sure that Mike Tomlin preserves his record and not having a losing season on his resume. But I digress. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers doesn't regret saying he owns the Bears, and I found someone that was just as upset as I was with the Bears' response. It's TD, it's Chris Canty on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to get at us on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Been taking your calls all show long on the debacle that was Thursday Night Football for the Pittsburgh Steelers and what your thoughts are on the upcoming matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Football Team. Make sure to get at us. But since we're talking about division rivalries, TD, I feel like we got to go back to something that Aaron Rodgers said earlier this week. And you know what? I don't know if I could do it justice, so I'm just going to let A-Rod step in and take it over from here. Here's Aaron Rodgers in his presser this week about his upcoming matchup with the Chicago Bears.
I don't know that you can question a whole lot of what I said. You know, we've had a good record over the years against them and won a lot of games in Soldier Field and at Lambeau Field. So it's been a great rivalry. I'm proud to be a part of it. You know, we have gotten the better of them the last, 27, 28 times we played them for the most part. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of times in situations like this, the trash talk is only able to be used if you're getting after that individual that was trash talking. So in order to trash talk, you have to have a lot of confidence in what you accomplished and what you're going to accomplish in the future. At some point, what I said will be used against me. That's just part of it. But I have no regrets for saying what I said. And obviously, I think the record kind of speaks for itself.
Now, TD, I've let my feelings about this be known, and the guys behind the glass producing the show have actually turned that around and made that one of our promos for the show today.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's time for us to go out to the Goodyear hotline to bring on a Chicago native, co-host of the Spain and Fitz show on ESPN Radio, which follows Canty and Golic Jr., Sarah Spain. And Sarah, I heard that you are about as hot as I was when Aaron Rodgers really didn't show any remorse for doing what he did earlier this season to the Chicago Bears fans after he ran in that touchdown and he screamed into the stands that he owned them.
Let me just say, before I heard the sound you just played, I said to our whole production crew, my co-host Jason Fitz, I said, listen, if this were my quarterback, I would love it. So I'm kind of okay with it. Like, the only answer you have is to do something about it and shut him up. But then the condescension in the way he doubled down. I want to ask you guys this. What would be some, like, synonyms for I own you? I was thinking, like, I'm your daddy, eat it, pound sand. Can you think of any others? Like, it's a very specific kind of thing to yell at the crowd.
Yeah, rent-free in your head, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes, right. So I've never heard anybody, when asked if they regret saying, eat it, pound sand, I'm your daddy, kiss my Converse. Well, I don't think there's any reason really to question anything I said. Right? It's not like they're asking, are you better? We all know you are. It's not like they're asking, is your record better? They're asking if you regret being... So many words I just realized I'm not allowed to say on the air. The attitude and approach that you took in asserting that dominance, I just, man, it's so much easier for me now that I don't like Aaron Rodgers to just hate the Packers as one big unit. When I used to split my allegiances between hating the team as a Bears rival and thinking Aaron Rodgers was cool, it was a lot stickier for me. This is a whole lot easier. The problem is, I agree with you. I think the Bears should come out and really want to, you know, knock his head off and make him pay and make him, you know, feel bad for being so condescending. But we can't, because we're not very good, and they're better than us.
Well, I guess we could go from there to the coach. And Matt mm-hmm. Nagy obviously is on the hot seat. How quickly do you think a move is made to replace him? And who are some possible candidates that you would like to see them roll in as options?
Well, the Bears have not been a team that fires coaches in the middle of the season, but there are still rumors that this may be his last game. The stretch that they're on is just so pathetic. And at this point, the only thing to look for really is, what are you getting out of Justin Fields, who is thankfully coming back off injury, but you know, being medically cleared and being 100% are different things. But they've lost 6 of their last 7. And this stat I saw the other day, Matt Nagy's passing offense is averaging 173 yards per game, which is last. And Sid Luckman, which is the last respectable quarterback in the Bears franchise, who played in the 1940s, averaged 189 passing yards per game. So this offense in 2021 is literally less efficient than the Bears' passing offense in the 1940s, okay? Like, at this point, there is no argument for keeping Matt Nagy around. Even though you don't want Justin Fields to start his career with, you know, multiple people in charge, you can do more damage, I think, by the lack of creativity, by the way he's been set up for sacks, for fumbles. You know, this is a guy who they told us probably wasn't quite ready, and we didn't want to listen until Andy Dalton got hurt. They pushed him in, and we said, oh yeah, he might not quite be ready yet. And now it's just been made worse by the way Nagy and Bill Lazor's doing his best as offensive coordinator, but ultimately the buck stops with Nagy. And as far as replacements go, I would like to see a coach that has experience as a head coach in the NFL somewhere else that comes in. The Bears have tried a lot of that former coordinator. And for me, I just think they need someone who can run a team and really turn the ship around. It's been a while now since things have been, you know, there was that year when Nagy first arrived, and that so much of that was really about the defense. And when you get rid of the Vic Fangio side of things, it revealed what was really there.
Sarah, really quickly before we let you get out of here, 30 seconds or less, the team on the other side of this matchup, the Green Bay Packers, I know it's hard for you to be objective, but are they the team that you trust the most in the NFC?
Yeah, I think so. You know, this is a team that regardless of the situation, even in moments where Aaron Rodgers has not been the best, has been solid on both sides of the ball, and you know he can be explosive. So they are the ones to me that look the best.
All right. We appreciate a few minutes. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That is Sarah Spain, Chicago native and co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio, which follows us, Candy and Golic Jr., at 7 p.m. Coming up next, which quarterback will have a greater impact on their game this weekend? Josh Allen or Tom Brady? Teron Davenport and Chris Canty on Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Football Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your home, auto, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. And TD, this is the time of the year where teams are starting to position themselves to get into that playoff picture, potentially make a deep playoff run, and everybody is looking at the quarterbacks. They're the guys that are front and center in terms of who you call on in order to elevate the play of everybody else on the team. And so right now, going into week 14, I feel like this is the perfect time for us as a show to do a little bit of quarterback roulette, and try to figure out which quarterback will have the greater impact on their team's game this upcoming weekend. So I'm going to kick it over to our producer, Devin Nadeau, Devin Kane. Devin, what you got for us starting off? Listen, man, I know Josh Allen, he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and I'm figuring based on game script that they're going to be playing from behind. But I got to say Tom Brady, man. Tom Brady knows what to do. He knows what December football is all about. And Tre'Davious White, the loss of him a couple of weeks ago is going to loom large for that Bills secondary, given that they're going to be up against Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and let's not forget Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brate. So, I want to say Josh Allen just because I know that the Bills offense is largely one-dimensional and they're so dependent on him. But I think Tom Brady is going to be the one to dictate the complexion of the game. So I'm going with the GOAT.
I don't want to say Josh Allen, and I ain't saying Josh Allen. It's Tom Brady. You can't go against the GOAT, man. And the thing is, he is so good at that, hitting Gronkowski on that seam route and on those routes, the mid-range passing game, like across the middle of the field. And I think that's going to be wide open. I'm just going by what I saw watching the Titans and Bills play and those safeties just bailing out. There are going to be opportunities to hit big plays in the middle of the field. And I think Tom Brady does that as well, if not better, than anyone. So that's why I'm going with Brady.
Yeah, absolutely. And play action opportunities, chunk yards down the field, something to watch for. You know, Playoff Lenny made an appearance a couple of weeks ago against the Colts. And the Bills have shown that they can't stop a nosebleed when it comes to the run game. Bringing those extra defenders down in the box leads to shots over the top. So, again, another reason why you would go with Tom Brady over Josh Allen. Devin, what's next?
Oh, I'm going Lamar Jackson. It's not even a conversation. To be honest with you, I'll say this. I'm not sure the Browns can't get what they're getting from Baker Mayfield. I'm not sure they can't get that from Case Keenum.
Ooh.
But when you watch Lamar Jackson, and I know he has had his struggles as of late, but you look at how defenses have to prepare to play this guy. He obviously is a guy that could run with the football, but he also could throw it. He could get it to all levels of the football field. I'm going with Lamar Jackson, but daggone with Greg Roman, T. Martin, you know, Coach Williams, you guys got to get something built in for when teams blitz, that zero blitz. Somebody, one of the receivers have to understand that they're going hot. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson has to understand that there are times where he's accountable for that unblocked guy coming, and he has to do some things in order to alleviate that free runner coming. So either way, I'm still going with Lamar Jackson. I don't believe in Baker Mayfield, and Lamar, he's going to turn his game around soon. Count on it.
Listen, man, 4 weeks running and multiple turnovers in a lot of those games that they've played in over the course of that period, the Baltimore Ravens, they still ain't figured out an answer for a zero blitz and those guys walking up to the line of scrimmage and pressuring Lamar Jackson. That being said, I'm still going with Lamar Jackson because I just can't trust Baker Mayfield. And TD, you said it, you're not too sure that the Cleveland Browns can't get the same thing from Case Keenum that they're getting from Baker Mayfield right now. The crazy thing about what you said is that I actually think you're right. So, yeah, I don't know how you couldn't go with Lamar Jackson if for no other reason he's the healthier of the two quarterbacks and he's the more dynamic of the two quarterbacks, not to mention that he's got an MVP and a trophy case. We've never seen Baker Mayfield play at that level. So, yeah, I got more confidence that Lamar is going to put his imprint on this game over Baker. Oh, it's Derek Carr. Like, I don't even think it's close. Like, if the Las Vegas Raiders are going to have any chance in this game, it's going to have to be because Derek Carr's right arm is throwing them into it. Like, that's the only way that they have a chance to be able to survive. And Derek Carr has been playing some really good ball. Say what you want, but when you start looking at all the major metrics when it comes to production from the quarterback position, Derek Carr is right there at the top of those lists. So, I mean, it's not to say that Pat Mahomes is having a terrible season. I just think Derek Carr has to do more in order for his team to have success. We've seen that Kansas City Chiefs offense of late not be right. Now, it hasn't made a difference in terms of them being able to win games because their defense has been that good. But I just don't trust the Kansas City offense to be able to produce the way that I trust Derek Carr to be able to produce in that passing game. So I'm going to say he has more of an impact than Pat Mahomes. I know it sounds crazy because Pat Mahomes is clearly the better quarterback, But I just think that's a reflection of the state of both of these two teams.
Oof. Hey, listen, man. I got to go Pat Mahomes.
And uh-oh.
I can't go against Pat Mahomes. The problem has been the turnovers. But I think if you take a closer look, there needs to be a stat for receivers who have the ball bounce off of their hands and it results in interceptions, because that has happened so much. So I'm not going to hold all of the interceptions against Patrick Mahomes. But still, for me, anytime you got that arm that he has and you got Tyreek Hill, the cheetah on the outside, I think there's big plays that are bound to happen. Obviously, they're not happening as much, but this is an offense that I think going down the stretch can get back together and make a strong push for the top seed in the AFC. So I'm not going to go against Patrick Mahomes. Give me Patrick Mahomes over Carr any day of the week.
Teron Davenport and Chris Canty on Canty and Golic Jr. playing a little bit of quarterback roulette. Devin, what you got for us next?
I think Dak Prescott is going to have a greater impact on this game as a playmaker, just period. You know, making plays with his legs as well as with his arm. I think that, you know, when you go against this Redskins team, did it again, go against this Washington team, I think there are opportunities to make plays against those corners. And I like Prescott throwing to Amari Cooper, to CeeDee Lamb and those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's Dak Prescott. Whether you're going to line up in zone or man coverage, Dak Prescott is going to have answers against that Washington football team defense. And knowing that their pass rush is somewhat suspect because you got no Chase Young, no Montez Sweat, yeah, I feel pretty good about Dak being able to put his imprint on this team over Taylor Heineke. Taylor Heineke better watch out for Micah Parsons, because, I mean, he's another guy that needs to be in the conversation for defensive player of the year, not just defensive rookie of the year. So I got more confidence in the quarterback. That's one of the five or six best at his position in the entire National Football League. Coming up next, Bryce Young has a chance to become Alabama's first Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. So will he finish with better college career numbers than Mac Jones or Tua? We'll get to that on Canty and Golic Jr. But first, a word from Man in the Arena. Join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sport. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. Chris Canty, Canty and Golic Jr. We're back after this.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline, and we got to show some love to the guests that came through on the show. SportsCenter anchor Kevin Nagande being able to drop some knowledge about the Week 14 slate in the NFL, and of course, his Philadelphia Eagles. And then Sarah Spain, Chicago native and co-host of Spain and Fitz, which follows Canty and Golic Jr. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. And we also want you to go to ESPN Radio's Twitter account to check out our weekend preview poll, the Canty and Golic Jr. weekend preview poll, which we asked the question of which team needs a Week 14 win the most. And the four options were the Browns, the Bills, the Rams, and other. And checking in at number one was the Buffalo Bills with 37.7% of the vote. So that's where we're at. Those are the final results of that. I know Bills fans, Bills Mafia want them to get a win this weekend. Don't think that's going to happen down in Tampa. But, TD, now we have reached the portion of our show where it's time for us to go three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is 3 and Out.
3 and Out is brought to you by MyComputerCareer.com. Check in with them, MyComputerCareer.com. And TD, we got to start with the Golden State Warriors. Now, I know there's been a lot of conversation about Steph Curry breaking Ray Allen's record for career three-point makes. And so we have this from Mark Stein on the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors may rest Steph Curry in Indiana, increasing the odds that Curry breaks Ray Allen's all-time record for threes at Madison Square Garden. Here's the thing. It feels like with Golden State employing this kind of strategy, there's a level of petty that's involved with it. Just knowing the 2009 draft order and how the Golden State Warriors that were that one pick in front of the New York Knicks, and they took Steph Curry with that pick in the 2009 draft. It worked out for Golden State, not so much for the New York Knicks, who took Jordan Hill with the 8th overall selection. Let's just say that Jordan Hill ended up being about 16,000 points shy of where Steph Curry is right now. So it feels like there might be a level of petty that the Golden State Warriors are doing right here with trying to tee it up for Steph Curry to break the record in the Garden.
Yeah, that is a huge level of petty. I think it's awesome, though, just allowing him to, or setting him up to be able to set that record right there at the Mecca. It's just a different atmosphere. I don't know if you've ever been to a game at the Garden.
Oh, come on, TD. I'm a native New Yorker. I'm from the Boogie Down Bronx. I live in Manhattan.
Okay, all
so
right.
You know I've been in a game at the Garden.
Okay.
Even though I'm not a Knicks fan.
I didn't realize I've been in a game at the Garden.
I've had my feet on the wood, so I know it's a different experience.
Exactly.
But
so
this is
that,
a, this
that's a, why I think it's just great to be able to do that in that atmosphere.
No doubt about it. And Spike Lee is going to be in the building, so I'm pretty sure he'll get an ovation from the crowd, even though a lot of the Knicks fans are going to be salty that they didn't have a chance to get their hands on him. But I digress. Oh, so moving on in 3 and Out. We got the Heisman Trophy selection coming up this weekend. And, of course, one of the clear favorites is Bryce Young. He is minus 6,000 right now in Caesars Sportsbook to win the Heisman. The next closest is Aiden Hutchinson at plus 2,500. C.J. Stroud, quarterback from Ohio State, at plus 4,000. And then Kenny Pickett, quarterback for Pittsburgh, at plus 4,000. So it feels like it's Bryce Young's award to lose, especially coming off of that performance where he set an SEC record against Georgia in the SEC championship game, going off for 461 total yards. So it left us to ask the question, is Bryce Young going to be better than Mac Jones or Tua Tagovailoa? What say you, TD?
I'm going to go with yes. And the thing I love is the poise that he has within the pocket. You see his ability to move within the pocket. But then on top of that, he has that dual threat ability. So he's almost like a blend of the two, right? In that he's a pocket passer, doesn't get overexcited, you know, as the covers change and stuff like that. But he could also run. So I'm going to say yes. I am I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, you know what I mean, the Bryce Young Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the Bryce Young train as well, and we heard Mel Kiper Jr., who is ESPN's draft expert, say that if Bryce Young were to come out in this year's draft, he'd be the clear-cut number one overall pick, and it wouldn't be all that close. So I know teams are going to be clamoring for that 2023 draft position to try to get their hands on a guy like that, but I'm with you. I think he ends up being a better pro quarterback than Mac or Tua, injury notwithstanding. So we expect him to win the Heisman. We expect an interesting slate of games in Week 14 in the NFL. So I'm excited. TD, thanks for helping fill in. Now we're going to Spain and Fitz.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+. Plus.